Good evening.
Good evening.
I behold you with love, you radiant beings, you gods and goddesses. Remember, we're going to keep doing this until you are able to realize that. You have to know that you're a part of this thing called the universe, or this thing called God. You have to know that this thing called God would be incomplete without you. Each and every one of us is valuable to this thing called God. We're all part of God, and God is part of us. The reason why we want to know this is so that we do not allow the world to convince us that this is not so. This is not taught, as I said before, in brand name religions. And it's very often not taught in religious science classes either, because people like to just go right over that. It's a very touchy subject, because you're afraid, people are afraid, number one, to teach it because they don't want to puff you up. And you're afraid to know that because you're afraid maybe you'll get puffed up also and you'll think, oh my goodness, I am God. I'm not saying that you are God. What I am saying is all that you are is God. But you are not all that God is. You are godlings, or you are God in the making. But it takes us all to become that. If we want the world to change in any way, we have to realize that inside of us, we have the ability to do this, to become a God. Meaning that we have compassion for ourselves and for everyone. That we start to see ourselves as spiritual beings and give up the idea that we're only human. And therefore, we are allowed to get away with our small thinking. With all these little things that we think about, all the hates and jealousies. All the unkindness that we think about ourselves and about other people. We have to rise above that. We have to elevate our thinking. We have to elevate our consciousness to a different level. And we are able to do that because that's already intrinsic in us. We were created with that part. But then we come to this plane of action, we completely forget because the world tells us that that is not so. And we start to believe the world. Do not believe the world, people. Is it convincing as it is? It is not the truth. It is an illusion. It will never tell you the truth. But we pay attention to it anyway. Don't do that. Remember the master teacher Jesus said, do not judge by appearances. That's exactly what that meaning is. Don't listen to what the world is telling you. The world is filled with doomers and gloomers. The world is always going to tell you that something cannot be done, and it's especially going to tell you that you cannot do it. And you must give that idea up. When you know that you are God in the making, when you know that you're creative, when you know that you have a wonderful mind, and that mind has an imagination that you can do anything you put your mind to. What mind can conceive, man can achieve. And you have to remember that. Weeks and weeks ago, and for the longest time, we talked about this being a mental world, or a mental/spiritual world. And we constantly forget that it is a mental world. And I'm going to tell a story, and I hope that Laurie doesn't think that I'm always picking on her. But Laurie called me this morning because she's doing a seminar and she's having some difficulty with the people. And what did I tell you to do?
Told me to think of them as God, as you address them and address the whole situation, to see the God in them.
You see, we're in this teaching, and she's been in this teaching forever and a day. And when we get, as soon as we get into a situation, God goes out the window. As soon as we get into a situation, we live in a mental world goes out the window, and we start to struggle with that. You see, is when you realize that you're only talking to God, there's nobody else to talk to, people. There's only God. There's only mind. There's only intelligence. There's nothing else out there. We're individualized expressions of this thing called God. So you have to remember that you're always talking to God. So you say, oh, I mean, it's person, and we're very difficult. Oh, my, this, that, and the other thing. They're not going to be difficult if you look at them and know that they're God. Because if you put that energy out, that energy has to come back to you. We're always looking in a mirror. But we forget that constantly. We forget that it's a mirror and that the universe reflects everything back to us. Anything that we think, remember the echo? It always echoes back the same thing. If you scream out, I am a success, it screams back, I am a success. So you have to remember that. Here's a little card I'll bring up right away. All failures in life are due to taking sides with the finite around us. Taking sides with the finite, meaning taking sides with the world. The world tells you all kinds of facts, people. And you start to believe those facts. What are those facts at the present moment? The fact is that the economy stinks. That is a fact. We do not live in facts. We live in truth. The truth is that money is always freely circulating in your life and you always have a divine surplus. You see the difference? All failures in life are due to taking sides with the finite around us. All success in life is due to taking sides with the law within us. The law of attraction, the law of cause and effect. When you know that you have the power to cause something. Laurie has the power to cause these two men to come to her way of thinking. She has the power for this seminar to be the very best seminar that she's ever given. How does she arrive at that? You arrive at that by always starting at the end, not at the beginning. You have to know that it's already done. You always start at the end, and it's already done. You start with things. I told you the story, and I think this is very clever. People are copying me. Do you remember my story about before I had a door, I bought a door knocker? And people said, you don't have a door. But I said, I'm going to get the door. If I have a door knocker, a door has to follow. So now I have the door knocker and the door. State Farm, I believe it is, has a commercial on television. A lady walks in, and in her house, well, shows the man. He buys the door, he paints it and does the whole thing, and he props it up, has it all fixed up, props it up in the house. She walks in, she says, what is this? He looks at her and he says, it's a promise. Now my hair stands up when I see it. It's a promise. Now the house has to come. You have to make promises to yourself. You have to do things like that to stimulate your thinking, to stimulate your mind, to keep your focus on what you want. Keep your focus on what you want. Do something. But start at the end. Now, that man knew perfectly well. If he bought that door and painted it and had it all fixed up, he's going to have a house. And that's a promise. And we're always making promises to ourselves. And what happens to these promises that we make? We talk ourselves out of them. We talk ourselves out of them. Every time you talk yourself out of a promise that you've made to yourself, you have done damage to your own self. You see, this thing called God does not punish. God never sits in judgment upon itself through you. We see a lot of people suffering and they think they're being punished. The only punisher there is your mind. There's no one outside punishing you. It may look like that, but you're doing it to yourself. So when you make a promise, keep that promise, however small it is, to yourself. It builds self-esteem. And that's what it's all about. Learning to love yourself. To love yourself so much that you're able to give yourself what you want. Why? Because you know that you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. We're going to save the matter dance for later. Will you turn and say, I say yes to myself and life says yes to me.
I say yes to myself and life says yes to me.
I say yes to myself and life says yes to me.
I say yes to myself and life says yes to me.
I say yes to myself and life says yes to me.
I say yes to myself and life says yes to me.
I say yes to myself and life says yes to me.
I say yes to myself and life says yes to me.
I say yes to myself and life says yes to me.
I say yes to myself and life says yes to me.
I say yes to myself and life says yes to me.
I say yes to myself and life says yes to me.
I say yes to myself and life says yes to me.
I say yes to myself and life says yes to me.
I say yes to myself and life says yes to me.
I say yes to myself and life says yes to me.
I say yes to myself and life says yes to me.
I say yes to myself and life says yes to me.
I say yes to myself and life says yes to me.
I say yes to myself and life says yes to me.
I say yes to myself and life says yes to me.
I say yes to myself.
I say yes to myself and life says yes to me.
And I say yes to myself and life says yes to me. This is the way it works. This is the way it works every time. This thing called God, which is life, is always going to say yes to you. When anything that you want and anything that you don't want, you are the one that's making that choice all the time. So what are you thinking about yourself? Here's a little card. Your process of bringing your vision to life is an exercise of self-belief. An exercise of self-belief. You see, people want God to believe in them. You don't have to. That's a given. God believes in you. Do you believe in yourself? Do you believe in yourself? It's a good question, you know. You have to know that. Many people have a belief in God. A belief in God is all well and good. But what you need is the belief of God. You need the belief of God. We know tons, thousands, millions and trillions of people who believe in God, and they're living in poverty and they're living in misery because they do not have the faith of God. You see, God has a faith that everything can be created. Everything can be created. We're living in a field of total possibilities, and it starts with us. Inside of our being. Life is an inside job. You must know that you're part of this thing called God, that God would be incomplete without you. And then you take that down and you say to yourself, I know that I am worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and I matter. With that, we will do the matter dance. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. Yeah. All right. Yes, know that you matter, not only to yourself, but to this thing called God. Hold yourself in the highest of esteem always. So, this is my mission. From now on, you are always going to be looked at as gods and goddesses. We are going to say that every time we meet, till it sinks in that we all start to believe that. We have come entirely too far. We've spent many years, and when I'm saying spend many years, let's try 2,000 or 2,500 years. This message has been around, and people are not getting it. It's being held from you. Now, some people may believe in reincarnation. I don't know if I believe in reincarnation or not. The only little clue that I have about that is I spend money like I have it. Meaning from a previous life. But if you think that this is going to be your only go around, why don't you learn it now? Now, I think we get a chance to keep coming back till we learn this. But how many times do you want to keep coming back? How many times before it dawns on you, oh my goodness, I am God. You see? Once you know that, you're just ascend. You won't have to go through all this again. But while you're here, make this whole thing fun for yourself. Don't make this hard. Make it fun. And try to convince yourself of this. You have a mind. You have to teach your mind to think what you want it to think. Otherwise, it just goes ahead and does what it wants. You are not your mind. Your mind is yours to use. So use it. But know that you truly are God's in the making. And it is absolutely possible for you to be able to accomplish this in this lifetime. And if we are going to ever change the world, it's going to be through this. Because if everyone knows that they are part of God, then we're not going to be fighting. We're not going to have the turmoil that we think and we call the human condition. And we let it go at that because we say, it's been going on all these many centuries. That's just the way it is. We've always done it this way and we're going to continue to do it this way. You've got to change your thinking. You've got to change your thinking. Okay? Now, with that, we are in this month, we're talking about wealth. And where does wealth come from? Who has wealth? What do we know about wealth? The first thing we have to always know about wealth is that God is not only the source, God is also the supply. So you're always going to be looking to God for your wealth. And that wealth means money also. So any way you're getting money now is merely a channel that has opened up for you from the source itself. But that source has many channels available to you. Most people think that there's only one way to make money. There are thousands, millions of ways to make money. Use your thinking. Use that thinking power and ask, how can I make more money? How can I make money? And the answer will come to you. The answer will come to you. But you have to give up the idea that you're not worthy of it. You have to make yourself worthy to receive. You have to make yourself worthy. When I say make yourself worthy, why do you think you don't receive something? You don't receive something because the vessel is full. Once the vessel is full, nothing can get in there. So you have to get rid of all the old ideas that you have about yourself and about money so that you make room for it to come to you one more time. It'll keep coming. But we have things, oh, that can't be done, we say to ourselves. Money is a struggle. I would like everyone to know that money is not a struggle. Life is not a struggle. And with this whole idea of money, when you start to think that it's a struggle, and you start to fear it, you lose it very quickly. If you relax, and you can relax into wealth and let it come to you instead of your chasing all over town for it, just relax. Struggle is not necessary. It's not necessary. Here again, that's the world out there trying to convince you that you have to struggle. It is also that little part of your mind called the ego that says you're not worth anything unless you're struggling for this. Unless you make this hard and difficult, then it's not worth anything. So we have made making money difficult so that we think it's so valuable and we need it so much and we struggle for it so much. Try to just relax and let it come to you. This thing called God always takes care of you. How many people in this room know that? How many people have had no money? But things are paid. Things get done. Things get done. Because there's something out there looking after you. And that's what you need to know. You also have to use wisdom. You have to use intelligence. You can't be stupid. But you don't have to be an Einstein. But you have to allow yourself to open to receiving. To open yourself to receive and know that you're worthy of that. So we relax into that. During this month, we put out the red envelopes. The red envelopes, why are they there? They're to teach you to have a saving consciousness. You see, you cannot have a prosperity consciousness and not be saving something. It does not mean that you have to save every dime that you make. It means you have to save something for an opportunity. And an opportunity will come along and then you use that money. We never save for a rainy day. We save for an opportunity day. And that opportunity then will come to you. If you're saving for a rainy day, you're going to get one. You're going to get one. Don't do that to yourself. Remember, it's reflecting back what you're thinking. The universe. You have to know that this universe is not only a big yes machine. I always think of it as a big ear. Great, big, enormous ear. It hears everything. And then it takes that in and does something with it. Gives it back to you. Gives it back to you. But it loves you so much. That's why it does this for you. So listen to what you're saying about yourself. Listen to what you're saying about money. Do you think money is scarce? Do you say to yourself, I don't have enough money? I don't have enough money. You must always live in a state of enoughness. You must always know that you have enough. You say, if you don't live in a state of enoughness, you can have $1 million and you won't be satisfied. You have to know that you always have enough. Do you remember the three things? I am enough, I have enough, and I do enough. You have to live in a state of enoughness. Everyone in this room at the present moment has enough. You have enough of everything. Now, if you're projecting your mind down 10 years, your mind is going to say, well, you don't have enough to get there. But you're not there. You're here. You're in the moment. You only need it for this moment. And then you move to the next moment. Remember the 12-step program, one day at a time. This is exactly it. One moment at a time, one day at a time. If you look down the road, they're going to tell you with inflation and this, that, and the other thing, you'll never make it. You have to know that that's not true. You have to know that's not true. When you're looking at money, you have to look at it the way you look at everything else, individually. What is it doing for you? How are you thinking about it? Not how the economists are thinking about it, not how Susie Orman is thinking about it, and I'm taking nothing away from any of these people. They have wonderful things to say. You can learn a great deal from them. But then you have to come up with your own system, and you have to say, this is what money does for me. This is how I handle my money. Some people say, oh, I put 10% away. Now everyone thinks, oh, we should put 10% away. What if you only put 2 or 3% away? What if you put nothing away? You see, you have to come up with your own system. You have to come up with your own system. Use all these other people. And use all the things that are out there that are available to you. But then come up with your own economic plan. Your own financial plan. I knew a minister that never counted his money. He never knew. But he said anytime he reached in his pocket, there was money there. But he never knew. He never tallied it up. He said at the end of the year, he just handed everything over to the accountant and left the accountant figure everything out. But he never worried about that. That was his belief. That was his system. Get your own system. I think most of the frustration comes in because somebody says, I can't balance my checkbook. So what? So what? Is it so important that your checkbook is balanced? I can't balance mine. Try as I might, but I am not going to sit there hour after hour trying to figure out what happened to money. I just write in there adjustment, and I adjust to things. Many people never reconcile their checkbook. Some people think that they have to reconcile it all the time. But you cannot punish yourself for that. I had a friend, Pat Scott was her name. She was in my church. And she said when she first got married, she bounced a check. And she was so disgusted with herself that she stayed in the bathroom for hours crying. You see the power of money? And what does it mean? Nothing. It doesn't mean, you know, why would you feel bad because you bounced a check? Now you'd have to pay the fee, perhaps. But then just make yourself a promise that you're not going to do that again and then stick to it. Don't make this a habitual type thing with your money. But you have to ease up on yourself just a little with this thing called money also. You have to be able to ease up a little. Not let a bounce check throw you for a loop. This is the same woman, by the way, that was a Baptist. And when she was a girl, the minister said, the sheep will be separated from the goats. Meaning, sheep go to heaven, goats go to hell. She was a girl, she told me, and where did she think she jumped?
She was a goat.
She was a goat. Most people think they're a goat. We don't jump on that side. Why? Because, here again, it's too pretentious. It's entirely too pretentious to say, I'm going to heaven. How many people here think they're going to go to heaven? Yeah. How many people aren't quite sure? See, how can you be in this teaching? How can you say that you're one with God, there is a God, and think that you're going to go anyplace else? It's an impossibility, people. You know, why would you waste your time sitting in here, or sitting in a church or a Baptist church or something, with the idea, well, at the end of my life, I'm going to hell. But in the meantime, I'm going to give this church $5,000-$6,000 a year.
But there is no heaven, there is no
heaven. Yes.
It's a state of consciousness.
It's a state of consciousness. Yes. We know that. They didn't. She didn't. She learned that. As Jesus said, Heaven is at hand. It's right here. It's not a geographical location. Also, when I was a minister, they were going to do a radio program, and the owner of the station said to me, "Do you believe in heaven?" And I said, "Do you mean as a geographical location?" And he said, "Yes." I said, "No." He said, "You can't be on the radio." Because they want people to believe that heaven is up and hell is down. Everything is a state of consciousness. Your life is a state of consciousness. Now, since we're talking about states of consciousness, and you people seem to be so up on this idea of consciousness and so forth. Opened yourself up, did you? So, tell me about money. What is money?
It's an exchange.
It's a state of consciousness. It's a state of consciousness. Where is your consciousness with money? Do you have a money consciousness? Do you have a prosperity consciousness, an abundance consciousness, or do you have a consciousness of lack, limitation, poverty, struggle? You see, when we started, I wasn't picking on Laurie, but we immediately forget that we're always talking to God. Then we forget that it's a mental world that we live in. Then we get very rambunctious and say, well, it's a state of consciousness. Oh, boy, I figured that out. Okay. Then we say, well, what is money? What's money? I don't know what money is. Money is a state of consciousness. Your life is a state of consciousness. You're living a state of consciousness. When you change your consciousness, your life changes. When you change your consciousness, what you see in front of you changes. The illusion that's in front of you will start to change. It has to do that. So money, if you're holding money in a consciousness of lack or struggle, or difficult to get, that is what you are going to receive. If you can relax into wealth, know that there's enough money for everybody, and that you deserve money, you shall have money. One of my favorite little sayings is from Frank Lloyd Wright. And Frank Lloyd Wright said, "Give me the luxuries, and I can do without the necessities." Do you see how important that little thing is? How important that little thing is. That is starting at the end. If you have the luxuries, the necessities are already there. They have taken care of themselves. But most people say, "Oh, just give me the necessities. Just give me the necessities of life." Go for the luxuries. The necessities have to be already there. Do you see? You don't get it? Do you get it? Door knocker. Door. Knocker. Door. Luxuries. The necessities have to be there. Never go for the necessities. First of all, when you want to go for anything, you have to stimulate the mind. You have to stimulate the mind. And the mind gets stimulated by big ideas, not by small ideas. If I said, "I'm going to give everyone $10, not very stimulating. If I say $1,000 or $1,000,000, now you can get stimulated. Now you can get stimulated. What do we know about this thing, stimulation? It's a feeling. What do we know about feelings? Feelings are the language of the universe. Feelings are the life of the organism. You get a feeling, it attracts things. It's the magnet that attracts things to you. So if you get a feeling of wealth, money will follow. but you have to feel wealthy. There's a book out. I think you know her. Wealthy Spirit. That woman lives in Burbank here someplace, doesn't she, around here somewhere? North Hollywood. Yeah. It's called The Wealthy Spirit, the book. You must develop a wealthy spirit. You see, it's done inside of you. So, it has nothing to do with the outside of life. It has to do with your thinking. And what you are thinking, not only about yourself, but money itself. Is it scarce? Is it hard to come by? Or is it easy? Is it easy for you to find that space? Would everyone just close their eyes for a moment? And just take a few breaths. And just start to settle down. If you start to settle down, I want you to imagine that you're standing on a cliff. It's a very deep ravine there. And as you stand there on that cliff, all the things that are not needed in your life, you start to put down beside you. What are those things? I'm not enough. Money is a struggle. I can't do this. My age is against me. Every excuse that you have used to keep money from you, you are going to put down beside you. So as you look around, you see all these things just piled around you. And you look on the other side of the cliff, and you see on the other side all the things that you want. You see the success, you see the money, you see that feeling of fulfillment. You see the cars, the houses, the jobs, all the things that you want are just on the other side. But there you stand, looking down at this deep, deep, deep ravine, this abyss. And then it dawns on you. I should be on the other side. I should be where I want to be. I should be where the money is, where the wealth is, where the success is. So something comes into your mind, an idea. An idea. And that idea is, my goodness, all I need to do is build a bridge. A bridge to the other side. So then your mind says, where are you going to get the material? You look down and there is all that junk that you just poured out. All those excuses. And you start to put those together. And you make a bridge out of them. And you lay that bridge across the ravine. and you start to walk across. And you walk across to the other side. To the side that you want to be on. To that side you have visualized. To that side you have prayed for. You feel like you have arrived. And as you set your feet on the other side, you turn around to look at the bridge. And you realize that that bridge was not constructed very well. After all, it was constructed with excuses. And that bridge starts to crumble. And it starts to fall down into the ravine, down into the abyss. And you watch each piece of that bridge, each excuse, falling, falling, falling. Down so far that you could no longer see it. It has completely disappeared. Every excuse that you've held in your mind has now disappeared. And you stand there on the other side, where all the things that you've always wanted have always been. And you stand there and you run through your mind gratefulness that you were able to give up all those excuses. And you fill yourself with a feeling of worthiness, deservability, lovability, and that you matter. And it feels so good. You are now where you want to be. All those other things are gone. Take a moment. Feel how that feels. Get excited. And come back when you're ready. Leave those excuses. Give them up. Don't harbor them. Go for what you want. Focus and concentrate always on what you want. Use this mind. Use this imagination. And make yourself do this. Make yourself do this. The other thing that I mentioned in one class, and I know that many of you who have been coming know this, some of you do not. On checks, I always write, God bless and multiply this money quickly. I've been doing that for the last maybe 30, 35 years. Ever since I started that, I have never run out of money. I look at money differently now. And I know that it's always going to be there. So I don't write that whole thing out, God bless and multiply this money. I write down the letters G, B, A, M, T, M, Q. Try it. It's bringing a new state of consciousness to you, a new way to look at money. When you pay your bills, be glad that you have the money. Every time I pay a bill, I say, thank you, God, that I have the money to pay this. Thank you that I have the money to pay this. Many people are what we call slow payers. They hate to give that money up. Please don't be a slow payer. People are counting on that money. Money is God in action. When you slow anything up, you get slowed up. If you hold back, the universe holds back on you. I sit down as soon as the bill comes in and pay it. I take it right to my desk, I pay it, and I put it right back in the mail. I walk it right out at that very moment. And on the way out, I say, thank you, thank you, thank you, that I have the money to pay this bill. Keep doing that. Convince yourself that there is tons of money, and there will be tons of money. It's done with your thinking. It's done with your mind. Don't pay attention to the other people. I put two letters in, these were only letters, yesterday morning. And I kissed them before I put them in, because they were going to special people. But I often kiss a bill and say, thank you that I have the money. I'm not afraid to get rid of money. Circulation. You have to keep things in circulation. Anytime that something does not circulate, it starts to stagnate. This is throughout the universe. This is throughout your body. When you're not feeling well, it's because something is not circulating in you. And you must figure out how to get the circulation started again. It's all done with circulation. The other thing to remember is giving is the first principle. People want to get before they give. You must have a giving consciousness. When you have a giving consciousness, you start to get. But if you have a getting consciousness, you are not going to do it, because you're always putting it wrong. It comes giving first. You give, you receive. You give, you receive. Keeps it in circulation. It's one of the fundamental laws is to give. Does not mean that you have to give every ounce. But you have to know that it's in the giving. I often give if I'm feeling poor. Then I look around to see where I can give my money. And then I give money away. Why do I do that? Because in my mind, it primes the pump. It primes the pump. Does anyone know what that means? Years ago, with a pump, you couldn't make the water come out. Wouldn't come out. But if you put a cup of water down, it primed the pump. And then the water would come up. Many times your well is right in front of you, but you will not prime it. You will hold back giving because you haven't gotten. You want to get. You must give first. The fundamental law of the universe, it starts with that. What if this thing called God waited to get before it gave? Yes. Always starts with giving. You can give to yourself, by the way. You don't always have to give to other people. It's an old expression. Charity begins at home. Take care of yourself. If you don't take care of yourself, you cannot take care of anybody else. That's the whole idea, the blind leading the blind. Don't do that. But learn to give. So money is a state of consciousness. It's a state of your consciousness. We use the little envelopes. We use God bless and multiply this money as little gimmicks to help us build a prosperity consciousness. The power is not in the red envelope. The power is in your mind. You must remember that God is always the source and the supply in every incident. It's never going to be anything else. You may think that the government is going to give you lots of money, but that money from the government is a channel. The money that you get from working on a job is a channel. When you realize that it's just one channel, then if that channel decides not to produce anymore, all you do is open up a new channel. Why? Because you have to know that you live in a prosperity, in a universe of prosperity and abundance, which includes this thing called money, and that it is always coming to you. It's always coming to you. And when you spend money, always say, this money is going to be multiplied. It's going to come right back to me. And you will watch how money, if you give $10 away, you will get $100 back. You have to know that. You have to know how to do that. And you all can do that. So money is what you make of it. Money has no power on its own. Money has no value on its own. You give it the power and you give it the value. So what power and what value are you giving to your money? You're the one that's deciding that. The United States Treasury does not decide that. Does not decide that. Don't buy in to inflation. Don't buy in to any of the economical things that are going on in the world. Do you think that God, being the source and the supply, is influenced at all by Obama's stimulus program? No. God always remains the same. God always remains your source and your supply. In good times and bad times, the supply is always there coming to you at a steady stream. It does not shut itself off. Oh, I don't think America needs money right now. They're depressed. They're into a depression, so I'm going to shut the money off. God does not shut the money off. God does not shut anything off. Your mind does that to you. Your mind does that to you. So no, the world has no influence over you whatsoever. What did the master teacher say? I am in this world. I am not of this world. Don't be of this world. The world will take you down the wrong path every time. Every time. All right, I have some cards. When you know for sure that you deserve yes, someone will say yes. When you have faith in yourself and recognize you deserve it all, the universe has no choice but to match your knowing. To match your knowing, know. Have faith in yourself. It's done with you. Faith in you. You don't have to have faith in God. What's God going to do with your faith? Can anyone tell me what God needs with faith? God has all the faith that God needs. You cannot influence God, people. I don't care if you're on your knees praying night and day. God's not going to blink an eye. God is just going to be God, giving and giving and giving and giving. Your job is to receive and to receive and to receive. Contentment around wealth depends not on external events. It is the result of vision you are using to view your life. The result of the vision that you are using to view your life. Do you know that you are wealthy? Do you have a wealthy consciousness? If not, build one. And the universe will match you. It's done with your vision of yourself. How much money do you want? Have you told yourself? Do you need $1 million? Do you want $2 million? How much do you want? You have to know that. And as you do that, your mind will tell you when to stop. And then you'll notice that, and then you have to stretch your consciousness to the next level. It's done with stretching your consciousness. Very few people can bring themselves to a Rolls Royce consciousness immediately. But they can go from a Ford to a Lincoln to a Mercedes and then to a Rolls Royce. It's done by stretching your consciousness. This is why very few people who win the lotto are able to keep the money. In fact, I think if you research that, you'll find that none of them have ever been able to keep their money. Because the money is dumped on them, but the consciousness is not. They do not have a wealthy consciousness. You must have the consciousness first, and then the wealth will follow. But you're thinking the way the world does, and you think money will make me wealthy. Money does not make you wealthy. I know tons of people with millions of dollars, and I will assure you that they are miserable people. They are miserable people. Build a consciousness first. All that we may ever desire to have and to be is ours for the asking, as we correctly apply the law of life, the law of mind. The law of life, the law of mind. What is that? It's the law of attraction. The law of cause and effect. What you think about, you bring about. I think I'm wealthy, therefore I am wealthy. I see money coming to me from all corners of the universe. People love to give me money. I love money. This is what you have to do. Remember my aunt, 95? Stood at the counter and went, money, money, money. And then money would come to her. You have to do that. You have to stimulate yourself. Your spirit is greater than any problem you encounter. And your mind can conjure creative, synchronistic solutions. Do you know that? I have a word that I'm not sure is the word. It's called connival. Your mind will connival if you want something. It will connival how to get it for you. It will connival how to get it for you. So you have to have the idea first. How can I explain this to you? I saw two little figurines the other day that I absolutely fell in love with. And I know that they're going to be mine. You're someplace else at the present moment. But I know, how do I know that they're going to be mine? Because I had a gut reaction to them. Something went here. And as soon as I get that, I know. Now that's a done deal. Now those little figurines are $400. Now my mind immediately started to connival. Where is that $400 going to come from? That was on. Oh! It's when I went to get the red envelopes. Exactly. In fact, I forgot last week. When I went to get the red envelopes, I also ate in Chinatown, and my fortune was, today will be pleasant. Your life will be prosperous. See? So I keep those little things as a reminder. Now, back to these little figurines. So, I didn't have $400. The day I saw them, I did not have. But my mind immediately started to do it. So far, what has come in? 300. So far, it's only a week. 300 that I didn't have before. Now the rest will come, and then I'll decide if I want to buy those figurines or not. But I didn't say, I don't have the money. I'll never have the money. I don't deserve those. Who needs two little cat figurines, Dallas? You have enough stuff. I just knew when I had that gut thing that now my mind will have to connive how to figure out how to get that money. And then I watch the money. I get excited and I use this up, do a little game. I watch it come in. Haven't you ever wanted something and you didn't have, and it starts, the money starts to come? If it hasn't, try it. Know that your mind can do that. You have a mind, this most wonderful, powerful gift that you've ever been given. You know, when it says in the Bible, the gift has been given, it means your mind, for God's sake. What do you think it means? You have a mind that thinks. An incredible thing here. A computer. The human mind, the computer, if they made a computer the size of the, that could do what all the human mind can do, it would take up half the continental United States. Half the continental United States. You have a powerful thing between your ears. Learn to use it. Let it do the work for you. Life does not have to be a struggle. You can relax into wealth, but use your noggin. If you wish any good thing, you must first give something good to build upon. You must give something to build upon, something good to build upon. Giving, which is the first or fundamental law of life, is the first law of all creation. Giving. Learn to give. Be a cheerful giver. And it doesn't mean that you have to be Bill Gates. Doesn't mean that. Doesn't mean that at all. Little things. But learn to give. And give to yourself. Money represents the law of service. Its value is the estimation of worth placed upon it by the mind. Oh, placed upon it by the mind of man. While its form is designed to ensure the easiest exchange. The value of money is placed on it by our minds, by the mind of man. Look at the way property goes up and down and back and forth. It's a game. It's a wonderful game. Learn to build a prosperity consciousness. Learn that you can use your mind, you can use your imagination, and that you can get anything that you want in life. And it's wonderful. And so are you, and so am I, and therein's the lesson. Thank you.